journalist, troublemaker, muckraker.
It's time for the Packer Outright Opinion Show with the Hafman Brothers. These brothers grew up in Packer country and are passionate, lifelong Packers fans. They tell it like they see it, keep things informative and entertaining, and have some fun along the way.
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bring your questions and comments and enjoy your time with the Hafman Brothers.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
Hey, welcome in, everyone, and welcome back. We had the week off last week. Evan, we missed you.
I missed you. I got to step into your giant shoes. That was fun, man.
Hanging out with Pizza Box on Saturday. Yeah, good for you.
No, I mean, he's a good cat. I'd never worked with him. I'd never done a show before. And I got to say, I really dug it. It was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. He's looking forward to working with you more, too, with some other adjustments coming on. But hey, we got the Packer Outright Opinion Show tonight. One of my favorite shows of the year that we do. It is the award show, the Hafman Bros Season Awards. Now, I forgot, so I put this, Ben, I'm going to pull it up here on YouTube and for the viewers. NFL Pack Boy, hey, says, what's up, Hafman Bros? How are you? NFL Pack Boy, good to see you, my friend. Thanks for checking out the show. And I'm going to pull this up here, Ben, because, you know, last season I put on here the regular season awards, and little did I know this season I didn't have to specify that because there was no...
Oh!
There's the postseason for the Packers. Come on! Anyway, so sorry about that, everybody. That wasn't something to, you know, it wasn't a rub. It wasn't something to, you know, throw at you that way. It just happened to be. That's what we titled it in 2021. And so I put it out here. But anyway, this is regular season awards. And in 2022, that's the whole season for the Packers, is the regular season. But some good stuff, right? We spent a lot of time this season talking about problems, talking about issues, talking about things that made us upset or frustrated as fans and as Packer analysts and all kinds of stuff. The Packer players had a lot of drama. The Packer coaches had, you know, everybody had drama thanks to, you know, one guy in particular, but a lot of other people got involved and, oh my goodness. And there was back and forth and we analyzed comments and we rolled the roller coaster of an 8-9 season, a season that was 3-6 at one point, that was 4-8 at one point, and then 4 straight wins. And we thought, oh my God, our hopes are up. And then the Lions dashed the hopes of the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field at the end of the season, and Aaron Rodgers left the field losing again at Lambeau Field once again for the third year in a row. That's what we got for 2022, but there's some bright spots, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. So enough about Aaron Rodgers. See you later, Aaron Rodgers. All right, it is time for the 2022 regular season awards for the Green Bay Packers. Ben, are you ready?
Yes, but I don't remember anything that I said.
Well, I gave you the categories. You sent me a list back of all your people you thought for those categories. And I said, I agree with almost every single one of these. And there was just one tiny adjustment. And this year we agreed on almost every single one. Now, I don't know if that's because we're brothers. I don't know if that's because we've been working together longer, looking at this stuff. If maybe I've convinced you of some things, maybe you just convinced me of everything you thought. I don't know. But last year, we had some different opinions on some of the awards. And this year, we're in line on almost every single one of them. So I'm excited about it. And it's a good awards group and well-deserved. And we have a couple of new categories. And we have a couple of revised categories. But it's pretty cool to kind of highlight some of the good points from the season after a rough season. So let's get into it here. I am going to check in with Chad here in just a second. But, aha, we did have the Vikings win the division, but the Packers were 8-9. Finished third in the NFC North this year behind the Lions. When was the last time that happened? It's been a while. Either way, we still had some bright spots, so let's talk about them. First award of the 2022 season for Hafman Bros presented to Offensive Packer of the Year for 2022. Who else could it be, Ben, other than Aaron Jones, right? Aaron Jones.
Aaron Jones is the most consistent. The guy who doesn't get the ball enough, I think all Packer fans can agree on that. He did have a fumble and a bunch of people turned on him, but, you know, apparently he's not the quarterback who can, you know, make 75,000 mistakes a game. If he makes one mistake, everybody freaks out, except they don't see all the other times when he makes awesome plays. So, whatever. He was the highest rated player for Andy Herman this season. He's the highest rated player for me this season. Most consistent Packer and all around awesome guy. So, yes. Highest total rushing this year in his whole career, which is weird to think about. Right? Also one of the top three players with over 600 carries at yards per carry in the history of the NFL. What? Yeah. Number two in yards above expected this season of all NFL running backs this season.
Career high in broken tackles as well for Aaron Jones this year.
Unbelievable player. Unbelievable season in his sixth season. And hopefully they'll figure out a way to get him back. You know, with that cap situation, obviously you can't pay him $20 million because, you know, you can play a quarterback $50 million, but you can't play a running back $20 million. So you got to figure out a way to, you know, knock that down. but he'll be back. Hopefully, according to Goody, he'll be back.
Hey, look, it says it all, right? I mean, his play says it all, the person he is, the way he represents himself. And that's why he's actually on this. He gets a couple awards from us tonight, not just that, but he is Offensive Packer of the Year for 2022. Third straight season with 1,000 plus yards and the 5.3 yards per carry. That's the key, right? That's the, I mean, every time you give him the ball, he is productive basically with that average. I mean, you can give this guy the ball and you can expect good things. And that's, I mean, He's the offensive player, 100%. No disputes there. I'm on board. Aaron Jones, the man, number 33 in our hearts. Defensive Packer of the Year. Now, the defense had their ups and downs and whatever, but, and some guys played well, some guys played better, some guys played kind of the old standard. A couple guys were better in some areas, like Jair Alexander got some interceptions for the first time in his career. Wow. So he was a Pro Bowler because he got five picks this year, even though I don't think he played quite as well overall as maybe his second year. But that's fine. Neither here nor there. But the Defensive Packer of the Year for 2022, according to Hafen Bros, is a guy who's brand new to the team, 22 years old, and people are bagging on him too because he made a couple of dumb mistakes because he's got some problems controlling his emotions. But 121 tackles, seven passes defended, three forced fumbles, and a fumble recovery for rookie Quay Walker, who played throughout the whole season.
This was the toughest award for me to give out, to be honest. I thought there were a lot of Packers who played below expectations on the defense, obviously, and that's why our defense was definitely suffering this past season. But there were a lot of guys who played okay to a little bit good. And Quay Walker was a rookie who came in, and then Campbell got hurt midway through the season. And really, Quay Walker was a guy who solidified the defense and held everything together and led the team in tackles and had three forced fumbles, which is the most forced fumbles by any Packers inside linebacker in a long time. And seven pass defense, which means he can play, you know, he can play pass defense. He can cover guys. He can knock the ball away. He can also blitz the quarterback a couple times, got some pressures and caused some, you know, errant throws and things like that. So was it a perfect season for this rookie? No. But as far as everybody all together, I think it was basically all you could ask for from a first round pick. We've had a lot of first round picks in Green Bay that don't even play or don't do much their first season. So this is the first time we've had a first round pick who comes in and really makes a huge difference since Jair, I'd say. So it's kind of nice to see that. So I think Quay Walker deserves it.
Now, quick follow-up here. Wyatt chimed in early on just before we even broadcasted and said, you know, wanted Wyatt for Defensive Rookie of the Year, but not quite, Wyatt. We know. You came on, you did well in your limited snaps, but Quay Walker was out there all the time, played a bunch of snaps, 121 tackles, seven passes defended, three forced fumbles, one fumble recovery. And again, the game against the Lions was one of the only guys who showed up, looked like he was trying, looked like he was out there playing, as far as I could tell, so... I appreciate the effort. And I think, again, get him some help, figure out some of the stuff, you know, that triggers some of those reactions. And, you know, that's what you got to invest in, young man. He's shown a lot of really good signs. So people that were calling for things early on from him too, or after some of those things happen, it's like, dude, the guy's a first round pick. The guy plays well. He just needs a little help controlling his emotions on the field. All right, let's move on. Ben, it is now the MIP, the most improved Packer. And you went with TJ. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. That's the wrong 93. Sorry. Let's see. Oh, there we go. TJ Slayton, the current 93. big disruptive man, and you convinced me to go along with you on most improved Packer here, TJ Slayton, this year.
Well, I think what he showed was when they put him at zero technique or at nose tackle across from the center, he does a good job. He's got a quick first step. He can hold up against the run or a double team. He gets penetration at times. He does a very good job. And I think he's a better player at that position than Kenny Clark ever has been, because Kenny Clark doesn't have the size that TJ Slayton has. And I think part of it is he had to switch positions. I think he was an offensive lineman for a long time in college, and they moved him to defensive tackle, right, when they drafted him. And it's taken a couple years, but I think this season showed, with a little more game time for him and playing time, especially once Lowry got hurt, he got a little more playing time, and he proved that he could be a very good player at the defensive line. And he definitely improved his game from previous seasons, and I think that switch is starting to show up on the field.
Yeah, I like it. TJ Slayton, he did some really good things out there for sure. I was impressed, especially when they made that move, right, that adjustment. Because the first season, even this last preseason, he didn't look all that impressive. It was kind of like, well, I mean, he's a big guy, but he doesn't look like he's able to do the things that big guys that are going to be game changers or really be good guys to have on the field should be able to do. And then all of a sudden, when we saw that adjustment, man, he started doing some things the second half of the season and looked like the player we hoped he could be. So, watchers here, and he says hopefully Ford pans out too. And he's a monster as well and can really have some big, beefy guys that can help, you know, control the line of scrimmage, dictate the run game, slow down the run game, force teams to pass, and we get Rashawn Gary back in this defense, and a lot of things look differently. We're coming up here. I think we can get one more in before. We got 1 minute. Ooh, 1 minute. Let's go for one more here, Ben. Maybe we got to get it on the other side. Maybe not. We got 1 minute. We'll come back to this one. It's going to be the map. We had the MIP. We had the map. We got more awards ahead here on Hafeman Bros 2022 Green Bay Packers 2022 season awards, according to Hafeman Bros. More coming at you here in the second segment throughout the hour, and we will have a defense. We will have an Oh Yeah Play of the Year, and we will also have Silent But Deadly Player of the Season, not just the week, the season, during this hour. We'll be back here in just a minute. Hafeman Bros. Packer Outright Opinions. Catch you in a bit. Been commenting here. We've been talking about the Packers playing, what type of defense they play. Is it going to be a true 3-4 ever again? They kind of switch back to 4-3. They run a four-man front. They actually ran some six-man fronts here in the last couple games of the season, too, to really switch it up and try to adjust some things. We talked about Chris Barnes probably being back, too, as a restricted free agent. And NFL Pack Boy says we better at stopping the run when Barnes is on the field. We are better. Yes, 100%. Because Barnes is an interesting player. Again, an undrafted guy who basically when he's on the field just, you know, does a good job. Is a solid guy. He's not flashy, but he does a good job. All right, it is time to continue on with our awards here. The next award is the MAP. It is the Most Aware Packer. The Most Aware Packer. And there's no other guy that's any more aware than Rasul Douglas. Rasul Douglas wins it. He's the Most Aware Packer. He had two tricky interceptions this year, Ben, alone, just because he knows what's going on. He didn't have anybody to cover. So he's like, well, I'm going to go over here and I'll just sneakily trick the quarterback to throwing it right to me. It's a beautiful thing. And I'll get some interceptions. Four interceptions this year, 13 passes defended. And the thing that blew me away, 85 tackles. 85 tackles from a corner, Ben. And he didn't even play 100% of the snaps. He didn't even start early in the season until Eric Stokes was out. That was when he first started getting 100% of the defensive snaps. He had 80 tackles through 16 games. That doesn't
happen. It's easier to get tackles when the other guys that play the secondary with you can't tackle. And unfortunately, that's what he has with him, with Jair, Stokes, Savage, and Amos, who are all have issues tackling, but Rasul Douglas did not. As a matter of fact, here's hoping that when Stokes comes back, they have the ability to maybe play Rasul at safety. I don't know. Let Amos go. Trade away Savage, please. Find another guy to play safety, and maybe Rasul plays some safety, because one thing we know he's good at is when his eyes are on the quarterback, he reads stuff, and he's aware of where the ball is. He knows where the guy he's supposed to be covering is. He knows where the quarterback is, and he can tackle, and he can pick the ball off, and he can make plays. And I think him at safety would just, I think it would just enhance him. I think he'd turn him into even a bigger playmaker than he already has been. So, yeah, the most aware Packer, 100%. My guy, Rasul Douglas, 29.
Rasul Douglas, he is the man. And yeah, you're right. We've been talking about this whole safety thing for him. You signed him to the 3-year contract last year. You got him under contract 2 more years. Put him at safety. He's a great tackler. He knows what's going on. He attacks plays. He's aware. He makes interceptions. Great hands. I mean, he had a sack this year. He would be fantastic at safety. He would be amazing. But 85 tackles. That's those safeties don't even make that many tackles sometimes. That's crazy. All right. Let's move it along. The highest impact player, the hip. The hip is the next award. Highest impact Packer, excuse me. And there was no one with greater impact to this team this season than this guy, Keyshawn Nixon.
Well, it sucks for Amari Rodgers. He never quite figured it out. Packers had to move on from him. But thank God Keyshawn Nixon, who was not known as a return man, showed up and said, hey, I'm just going to take it out. I'm going to take it out every time. What's that? You're going to kick it 90 yards in the end zone? Don't care. I'm taking it out. He kept taking it out. And the other thing was, when he played nickel corner, he did all that Rasul does. Great tackler. Moves on the ball. Keeps his head aware. Knows where his guy is. Has pass breakups. Comes up and makes hard hits on tackles on guys when they, you know, get the like running backs in the flat or even on receivers in the slot. So he's another key guy who is the number one free agent that we have to bring back. I think every Packer fan knows this. I think Brian Gutekunst knows this. Everybody knows it. Problem is, his price tag went up this week when he got named as an all-pro at kick returner and special teams guy. But we haven't had a kick returner or a nickel corner this good since Charles Woodson. No, Micah Hyde. That's right. We haven't had a guy that's this good at returning kicks and playing nickel corner since we had Micah Hyde. That was a long time ago, and we need to hang on to this guy. We let Micah Hyde go. That was dumb. Let's make sure we hang on to this guy.
Yeah, I mean, look, when you looked at how bad the Packers return teams were and all this sort of stuff and the instant impact he made just when you put a guy in there who had no fear, right? Play with absolutely no fear. You saw it on one of his first punt returns where the ball was bouncing around and he just like grabbed it. I mean, most guys are afraid to touch it, right? Because they didn't want to screw it up. And he's just like, grab that, I'll take off. And he caught all the defensive guys, all the coverage guys off guard, and he got like a big 20-yard return on it. Vision, fast, aggressive, can help on defense. I mean, the guy's invaluable. Guys like that are invaluable to your football team. And when you can make impact on multiple phases of the game, special teams and defense, I mean, that pay him. Yeah, 100%, Watcher. Pay the man. Keyshawn Nixon. Please get him back, Green Bay Packers. We'll get one more in here definitely before the break. Let's go to our next award. It is the glue guy, Ben. The glue guy. And if you're watching on YouTube or Facebook or wherever, you can see Zach Tom, the glue guy of this season. Held the makeshift line together, which was the same glue guy from last year. Lucas Patrick did the same thing, held the makeshift line together. But also, Zach Tom, I think, destroyed this little girl's bicycle in this photo.
You know, it's the glue guy is one of the most important positions that Hafeman Brothers, and the most important awards that we give out every year. Because it's the guy. It goes to the player who, without him, the entire season would fall apart. The entire either offense or defense, whichever position we take it from. Usually it's a middle linebacker or something, or it's a offensive lineman who's able to come in at a moment's notice at any position that's needed and make the play. And that's what Zach Tom did this year. He is the epitome of a glue guy. He fixes everything. And you're muted.
Sorry, I got some stompers here rummaging going around in the house. Yes, he is it. Glue holds it together. Zach Tom held this offensive line, this team together. Think of the in-game injuries where he stepped in. Think of times he had to spot start. All of this stuff as a rookie, too. And again, go back and check the video because I'm pretty sure he destroyed this little girl's bike. But that's okay. He held the team together. We'll be back for more season awards 2022 Green Bay Packers. Hafen Bros right after this. Back here on Packer Outright Opinions, Hafen Bros here, your hosts, going through the 2022 Green Bay Packers season awards. Not official, there's not actually awards given out to anybody, but we give them the awards and approval as judged, as evaluated, as awarded by us, yours truly, Ben and Jason Hafen, two experts in the field of the Green Bay Packers, right?
So well, I am. I don't know about you.
Okay. So let's see. We were talking in the break here with guys, chatters here online about players the Packers might want to draft. And I think that's one thing that should stand out to people from this season, Ben, wasn't one of the really exciting points and parts of this team was how impactful this rookie class was and how much promise this rookie class showed, and they actually got chances to play too, which helps. You need opportunities to play to show what you can do. But when they got opportunities to play, a bunch of these rookies performed very, very well.
Well, usually we give an award. You didn't ask me for this one this year, which is kind of weird, which was the...
I do.
Like the Packer, like just person of the year?
No, we got that one.
Oh, well, I didn't know that because I would have given it to somebody. I guess I chose the wrong person because I thought that wasn't it.
Okay. That's the BPR, Best Packer Representative. It's on the list.
Oh, well, then the person I put on there is not what I want.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, you can add one. You can add an award
whatever.
When we get
Let's
to
get going here. I got awards to do here. What are we talking about?
I'm just saying it's pretty interesting to see that a number of rookies are winners on this list. We've already had Quay Walker for Defensive Packer of the Year. We've already had Zach Tom for Glue Guy for 2022. Let's see our next award, which is one of my favorites, the Overcomer. The Overcomer Award really embodies someone who had some struggles, had some challenges at points of the season, overcame, also maybe was overlooked for parts of the season, maybe some issues, like couldn't even get on the field like this guy, even though you and I were calling for him weeks before the Packers finally put him on the field. And then when they did, our winner for 2022 Overcomer, Rudy Ford, made some impactful plays, and I would say, by my estimation, became our best safety on the whole team, or showed that he was the whole time, but finally got to get on the field and play. What do you think?
A lot of times, yeah, a lot of times these guys, the overcomer that we choose is a guy who overcame adversity of some sort, usually it had something that directly did him. This was him overcoming terrible coaching. The fact that the coaches didn't know he was good enough to put on the field and should have been out there right away. The fact that he overcome the fact he had a first-round pick from years past starting ahead of him who played like trash and he should have been off the field a long time ago, but he had to overcome the fact that, you know, first-round pick, terrible coaching, awesome player, and when he finally got out there, he picked, made plays, a great tackler, covered guys, was always good on special teams, and then they pull him after a bullcrap call. And he didn't talk smack and came back the next game and started and played great. So he's also a humble guy who understands what's going on. And it was another find by Goody coming off Jacksonville Jaguars who cut him. And we picked him off the street and he came in and it took him way too long to get on the field. But he overcame terrible coaching and the fact that he had a first round pick ahead of him, even though he should have been on the field. Overcomer, Rudy Ford. Awesome guy.
And another guy that you should have back on your team. They should value him. Offer him a reasonable contract and try to secure his services for 3 or 4 years. Because again, if you can be effective and helpful on multiple phases, just like Nixon, special teams and defense, that's a valuable piece to your team. So even if you do what we talked about, move for Sewell to safety next year, maybe Ford is still out there as a starting safety alongside him. I would be totally fine with that. But if he's not, if you still have him, if you need him or when you need him, because you know they're going to be injuries too. So Rudy Ford, great player. Love to see him in there. And he is our 2022 overcomer, Rudy Ford. Now it's time for the MIR, the most impactful rookie. And Ben, we are in consensus here as well. The most impactful rookie, according to both of us, and should be everyone on the planet, is Christian Watson, for crying out loud. Speed, best yards after the catch guy on the whole team, breaks tackles better than anybody else at the receiver spot for sure. Good blocker and just a straight up monster, Christian Watson. Once he finally got past some of the injuries and stuff like that, and they started throwing him the ball, 41 catches, 611 yards, 7 receiving touchdowns, 2 rushing touchdowns, and just a force that changed this whole offense, and a rookie, our most impactful rookie.
It's hard to think that our defensive player of the year is not our most impactful rookie, because he was a rookie as well.
Right.
But that just means our defense way underperformed. And this guy is a difference maker. A lot of times I say, like, when we lost Davante Adams, everybody's like, oh, how can we lose Davante Adams? He's such a good player. Oh, no. He makes such an impact. And I was always like, wait a minute. This one guy can't impact the game like that. And Davante Adams can't impact the game like Christian Watson can. Because Christian Watson's got speed, and he also blocks. Two things that Davante Adams never has had and never will have. And if Christian Watson could just learn how to catch a little better, holy macaroni and cheese, this guy's going to be unstoppable. And the difference between him on the field and him not on the field with this particular Packer team was night and day. I think he gave us a good 10 points a game just from him being on the field. And that's not a lie.
And like you said, the other big difference, right, is his ability to finish plays, to run after the catch as well. Davante Adams is not that good at that either. So, for everybody and all of the football analysis people who talked about Davante Adams and what a big loss it was, and that's the big difference in why Aaron Rodgers struggled and the offense struggled. Bah, 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 bah. Offense struggled because Aaron Rodgers stopped running an offense a couple years ago because he would only throw to Davante Adams on a bunch of plays like we've talked about. This year, they didn't have Davante Adams, so he had to try to look at actually running plays or looking through his progressions instead of just looking at one guy all the time, and it was a little sketchy. But Christian Watson changed everything. And when given opportunities, the guy performed and showed you he is a complete package. And he started catching balls and making tough catches. Now, is he going to have drops once in a while? Probably. But all the other stuff he does will blow away any of those drops. Just saying. All right, Christian Watson, the MIR, most impactful rookie. On to the next one. It is the best Packer representative. And I thought we were on the same page here. Ben apparently thinks somebody else this year, but I'm going to give it to Aaron Jones again. Aaron Jones is the best Packer representative. Great guy in the community. Just a general great guy. Great teammate. Never complains. Goes out there when he is called upon. Stands on the sideline when Matt LaFleur says he needs to protect him and blah, blah, blah. He wants to come back in the game. But, I don't know. We got to be careful with him. Well, I don't know why you got to be careful with him. Because he'll do whatever you ask him to do. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. And he should definitely win the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. He should have won it last year. He definitely should win it this year. Aaron Jones, best Packer representative, his second award of the night. Ben, do you go along with this or you got somebody else for best Packer?
Well, for best Packer representative, I thought that meant the guy who represents being a Green Bay Packer.
All right. Well, you can interpret
the word however you want. Aaron Jones is definitely, when I think of a Green Bay Packer, he's the first guy I think of because he's respectful. He's a huge, awesome teammate. He's a good leader. He's able to galvanize the team. He's able to support guys around him when they need help. He's the first guy to congratulate another guy who's taken maybe his spot on the team sometimes, with A.J. Dillon. He best buddies. Also with Jamal Williams. Those two guys are best buddies. Doesn't matter who it is. It even rivals for his own position, he makes his best friend, as well as other guys on the team. And this year, the fact that he was made captain for the first time ever was awesome for him. And they got to bring him back. He is truly the best Packer and the best representative in Green Bay as a Packer. And he needs to stay a Packer.
100%. And I know the cap hit's huge. It's like crazy amount. It's higher than any other running back, right? The way they set up his contract so they could get him cheaper the first 2 years. This was the plan all along. You said it when he first signed the deal. It was really a 2-year contract, right? And then they could cut ties with him. But he's too valuable. Look, there's another piece later on. There's one more award that will display a couple other pieces, and we'll go over that again painfully. But Aaron Jones always performs, and he always represents the Packers the best possible way. He is the person that every Packer fan should be really glad that he is on our team. So the kind of player you want on your team, 100%, Aaron Jones. Best Packer representative, BPR, Aaron Jones. All right. The next award is Aaron Jones because it's the MVPP, the most valuable Packer player. MVPP, Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones, his third award tonight because he was a standout once again. And to Ben, it goes basically down to this. In games when the Packers featured Aaron Jones in 2022, they won the games. And in games where they didn't feature Aaron Jones, they lost the games. So there's the value. Use the guy, get him the ball, you win. Don't use the guy, you don't win. I would say that proves most value right there.
I mean, I can't say much more. I've already said how awesome he is. He is the best. And if they don't bring him, it's a shame. You know what he is? I was thinking about it. He's like Donald Driver, but he has like the difference-making skills of like a Sterling Sharp. He's not as good as Sterling Sharp was at wide receiver, but I mean, just saying, he's a combination of an awesome guy and a really, 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 really good player who's undervalued, not just on this Packer team, but throughout the NFL. I don't think Aaron Jones ever gets the credit he deserves. Finally, the 1 year, he got voted number 33 on the players when they all voted for the top 100 players in the NFL, and he was voted number 33. And he should be voted high every year because he does more with a little less of blocking in front of him than I guess only one other guy who did better than him, which was actually Kansas City Chiefs player. But whatever. Aaron Jones, he's awesome. Most valuable pack, 100%.
Yeah, and he carries the G. Look, where's the sombrero? Like, he's always in a good mood. Matt LaFleur. Do you notice the difference about Matt LaFleur when he's asked about Aaron Rodgers and then he's asked questions about Aaron Jones? The difference in his demeanor, the way he responds to those questions?
Yeah, it's the same as B.
He absolutely loves Aaron Jones, you know? And he's so glad to have him in the locker room and to have him around. And he thinks he's one of the toughest guys pound for pound. And he's one of the best guys that you could have. And so all of it, but he's also the most valuable because again, he produces the way, like you said, respect across the league. 1 year when he had a bunch of touchdowns, they finally gave him some cred. He didn't have touchdowns, but he doesn't have touchdowns because he doesn't get the opportunity to score a bunch of rushing touchdowns.
He's not getting the ball. He didn't get the ball this year. And the Packers were the worst offense in the red zone this season.
Mm.
Maybe you want to give, 33 the ball when you're in the red zone. I don't know. That would probably be a smart thing.
When featured, you win. When you don't use him, you lose. Same problems with it. You want to go. That's the simplest evaluation of why they struggled in the red zone this year. Not getting 33 the ball enough. All right. We got a couple minutes left. We're going to come back. And our final segment, we're going to do Oh Yeah Play of the Year. And we might have some honorable mentions in there too for you. And then we have the silent but deadly player.
How much time we got?
Of the year. We got probably 2 minutes right now. 2 minutes right now. And I don't want to get into those. Yeah, I don't want to get into those yet.
Okay, well, let me talk about a guy.
Talk about a guy.
Usually when we do the Packer, you didn't call it the Packer representative. You called it the most valuable person or something like that.
Oh, the most valuable Packer, yeah.
Which we didn't do that this year for some reason. I think we just forgot. But my guy is Gutekunst, man. I'm sorry. Brian Gutekunst, who gets crap from everybody all the time.
Including me.
Almost every one of his draft picks were good.
That's true.
Pretty much every guy he signed off the street did a good job, except for maybe Jack Coco. But, whatever. Dallin Leavitt, I thought, was pretty good. Rudy Ford, awesome. Keyshawn, awesome. Now, those guys were probably Rick Bisaccia brought over, Keyshawn Nixon and Dallin Leavitt, obviously. But Rudy Ford was picked up. The draft picks are all really awesome. And Goody has an eye for some talent every now and again. Does he screw up with Amari Rodgers? Yeah. Did he screw up with Jay Sternberger? Yeah. Did he screw up with Josh Myers when he could have had Creed Humphrey? Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was really bad. That was really, really bad. Did he trade up, get Jordan Love? Yeah. Did he start this whole mess by drafting Jordan Love? Yeah, that was kind of dumb. But he's made up for it. He's made up for it. There haven't been very many draft classes like this one.
Jordan
has
Love
produced this season.
100%. Rookie's looking good. And Jordan Love, who knows? He looked pretty good when he got a chance to play. We'll talk about that in a minute. Packer Outright Opinions. Final part of the show tonight of the award show, official 2022 Green Bay Packer Awards from Hafen Bros. Now, last season, just to let you know, last season, Ben and I, and we've talked a lot about Aaron Rodgers on the radio and on our YouTube shows here this season and how much there are things we don't like about him. He was both of our MVPP award winner last year for 2021. We gave it to Aaron Rodgers. So we're fair. We're not biased on this, guys. We awarded Aaron Rodgers the MVPP, Most Valuable Packer Player, last year. So, come on. I'm just letting you know. There's the even video proof from our 2021 show. But this year, it's Aaron Jones, clearly, 100%. So, congrats, Aaron Jones. Three-time award winner. Rick points out, Raider Rick says, sounds like Jones could be the glue guy. He could have probably been that, too. But you know what? We can't give him all the awards. Can't give him all the awards. It's interesting as we talk about coaches and how they use their players, and lots of comments here talking about, you know, certain guys are used in weird ways, and Ben and I have had our issues with that too. Again, I think that has to change. I don't know if it's a, before we get to our final two pieces, Ben, of the awards, is I don't know if that has to change for the Packers saying, look, Matt LaFleur needs to just be in better communication with his position coaches, or he needs to dictate who's in the game sometimes, at least on offense. Maybe that's a change that needs to be made.
Or he just needs to know who's going in, who's coming out.
All right.
I mean, that's all it is to it. Call the play that's going to make your guy more successful.
Right.
If a guy can't run after the catch, don't call a freaking screen pass for him. If a guy can't block on a pull play, don't have him pull and block. It's that simple. But he just calls a play. Whoever's out there gets the ball. That's why you see Alan Lazard on 4th-and-1 do something dumb.
Raider Rick points out that you give Aaron Jones all the top 10 positions when you do your top 10 running backs list. So he thought maybe we would have just given him all the awards. But anyway, okay, we have two more things to go. And we're going to go back into this radio season archives a little bit and pull out the inspiration. These are year-long awards now. This is going to be, first of all, the Oh Yeah Play of the Year. It is time for the Oh Yeah Play of the Year. There are no beefs tonight because it's positive night. No beefs. But an Oh Yeah Play of the Year, Ben and I agreed on this one, and strangely it came in a loss, but I think there's some explanation here, Ben. It was the Christian Watson touchdown pass from Jordan Love against the Eagles when Love comes in the game, throws it straight to Christian Watson on time, and Watson uses his speed and athletic ability and run after the catch ability and runs and beats everyone to the end zone against the Eagles and keeps the Packers in the game. Now, explain a little more why that was your Oh Yeah Play of the Year.
Because it's what I want to see in the future. It's Christian Watson used at his best. Christian Watson is good. He's got speed. He's got a little bit of agility, but it's mostly speed. And you need to get him in motion, get him moving. Those crossing routes, perfect for him. The defenses, sometimes he has a hard time locating the ball. He's improved over the season. That definitely has happened. And he's gone up and gotten some balls. They don't really look pretty when he catches them, but he catches them. But if you can get it to him, on a quick slant or on a crossing pattern and with a perfect pass, not a very difficult one. It was, I think Jordan Love only threw the ball about, 10 yards in the air.
Yeah.
But it was perfectly right in stride where Christian Watson didn't have to slow down at all, didn't have to adjust to it, and took it to the house with super speed. And that's what we need. We need a quarterback who can hit a guy in stride on a quick slant, which Rodgers could not do in the last game. We saw that when he threw to Romeo Doubs' feet, and then everybody said it was a drop, even though it was thrown to his feet. But that play, when it happened, I was like, oh yeah. I want to see more of this.
Tick.
Yeah, a little tick, off with Rodgers. But when Jordan loved the Christian Watson, it was right on the money. 10-9 for 7. Well, for 6, really, I guess. But it was a beautiful play, and it made me want to see more of that. And here's hoping next year is what we see.
And especially with the way this offense is designed to run, with a lot of those crossing patterns over the middle, a lot of the in-cutting routes, right? That's what you want to see. The guy makes that in-cut. He's running away from the defender that was closest to him. If you get him the ball on the move where he doesn't have to slow down and continue to run, look what Christian Watson can do to people. He makes them look slow and stupid. I want to see more of that. Christian Watson running with the ball in his hands, not Christian Watson trying to locate this high air floater up in the air and trying to make some miraculous catch. Now, he did some of that too, like you pointed out. But again, a glimpse of the future and letting Watson catch and run. That is why it was my Oh Yeah Play of the Year too. Some honorable mentions. Keyshawn Nixon had 2 returns that could have given it to him. Some other great plays by other guys too, but that's the one. That is the one because it's what we could see as Packers fans, maybe as early as next year. Okay, the final award. Evan, it's time to do Silent But Deadly, but this time for the year.
And now it's time for the Hafeman Bros Silent But Deadly Player of
the Year.
The Year.
Silent but Deadly Player of the Year.
This year's Silent But Deadly Player is weird to me because I thought it was going to be Zach Tom because he won the weekly award so many times. I thought we'd have to choose Zach Tom, but then there was a guy.
See, I thought you were going to give it to Jaron Reed because you gave it to him so many times.
Well, Jaron Reed too.
And I think both of those guys are honorable mentions for the Silent But Deadly Player of the Year. But this is the guy. Go ahead and talk about this guy here.
Well, there was a guy that was just even more silent, but he was even more deadly because he did every single thing, every little thing on the football field that a bunch of people don't notice that is super important to making things work. And he didn't complain, and he gives a crap about the result and the team. As you can see him sitting on the bench, one of the only guys still sitting on the bench, dejected after that loss against Detroit. He's one of the last guys off the bench because he cares about it so much. And he's not even getting the ball. 15 targets the whole season on offense. 13 catches. Josiah DeGuara. But you know how many blocks he had? You know, how many key blocks did he have this year, Ben?
I think he had 15 key blocks just in one game. I mean, he's a guy who should be on the field on every play. I talked about it before. If it was Josiah DeGuara on that screen pass to Aaron Jones, who was lined up at wide receiver, and if it was Josiah DeGuara coming across in motion and pick up the corner on that block, instead of Robert Tonyan, that block would have been made. Aaron Jones would have been able to switch the ball to the other side and not gotten sandwiched and fumbled the ball. And that's one of those things you don't think about as a Packer fan. But there's a guy, Josiah DeGuara, who's out there every play, and he makes almost every time, probably 99% of the time, he's doing the right thing, whether it's picking up the blitz, whether it's helping out, moving in motion, the spring a guy for a run, whether it's catching a good pass and turning up field right away. He can do all those things. And the Packers need to use him more as a winning offense, as well as how he's already being used as a blocker and just an awesome all-around player. And that's why he's deadly, because you don't even know how good he is. Nobody knows how good he is unless you watch the All-22. Then you know.
100%. All the things he has been doing, he does great. And other things they should have him be doing, he can also do great. Send him up the seam. He's got great hands. He's got good enough speed. He's really good in space. And he's their best run after the catch guy besides Christian Watson. Josiah DeGuara, use him more next year. There's your Green Bay Packers 2022 season awards. Catch you next week. Packer Outright Opinions.